Father, we come to your word this morning. We pray that you will give us the anointing to be able to speak, and that you will open the understanding of each and every one of us to be able to embrace that which is spoken. Father, we declare this place a sacred ground right now. Consequently, every spirit that is not of you is bound and banished from this place in the name of Jesus. We especially bind the birds of the air that go around to pick the word of God from the hearts of people. We pray that they will now be able to operate in this place. Give us freedom to speak and give us freedom to receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said. My message this morning is one that I have never heard anyone preach about in my 32 years of being a Christian. Very, very, very few books have been written about this subject. Yet it is a subject that you cannot afford to be ignorant of. I want to plead with you this morning to lend me your ears and feed on the table that the Lord has set and prepared for your freedom this morning. I'm talking on deliverance from ungodly soul ties. Deliverance from ungodly soul ties. We've talked a lot in the realm of deliverance behind this pulpit, but I have never stood before you in all the 5 or 6 years we've been in this church to preach on this topic. And I got so much to say, I hope I'll be able to have enough time to be able to do justice to this sermon. Deliverance from ungodly soul ties. Let me begin with some very simple definitions. Soul ties. Those are the two words you will hear again and again throughout this sermon. What is soul? Soul. Your soul basically is your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Basically, it is the choice and decision-making part of us. That's what we call the soul. Then when we talk about a tie, soul tie, the Webster's Dictionary describes and defines a tie as meaning to attach, to bind, to fasten. Describes it as a bond or kinship or affection. So if I say I'm tied to a chairman, it means I have an affection for him. I like him. I have a bond with him. But it also, the word tie also carries another connotation, and it means to restrain from independence. And that's the area where we're going this morning. To tie means to restrain from independence or freedom of action or choice, to constrain by, as if, by authority, influence, agreement, or obligation. So when you look at those two definitions, it is very obvious that not all soul ties are bad. There are good soul ties and there are bad soul ties. You can have a good attachment to a person, a deep affection for an individual, as long as it is within the confines of the scriptures. This can exist between a husband and a wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters in a family, brothers and sisters in the house of God. So there are godly soul ties where you say, you know what, my will, my intellect, my emotions are just attached to my wife or attached to my husband or attached to my brother. I just love my brother. I love my sister. There's nothing wrong with that. However, there are ties and there are ties. As you can tell from that definition. Because a tie can also mean to restrain from independence or to restrain from freedom of action, where your freedom of choice is taken away from you, where you are under constraint by some authority, by some influence, or by some agreement or obligation that you put your hand into. So when we talk about ungodly soul ties, we're talking about your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions, and the choice and decision-making part of you has become restrained from independence or freedom of action and choice. When you're under ungodly soul ties, your mind, your will, your intellect is being ruled by some unbiblical authority, unbiblical influence, or unbiblical agreement. You'll be amazed how many people today are under that bondage. But God brought you here this morning so he can break every ungodly soul tie that you have with anyone or anything, living or dead. Everybody Somebody say in the name of Jesus. Say, I claim this morning complete freedom from any soul tie to anyone, to anything, living or dead, in the name of Jesus. We can talk about godly soul tie, but that's not my focus. But let me give you one or two scriptures to prove to you that there are good soul ties. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. We're going to be reading quite a few scriptures this morning. You're going to be blessed because this is going to be an eye-opener. I wish I knew this earlier in my Christian life. It will have delivered me from a lot of things. It will have probably helped me to enter into my destiny longer than I did, long ago. But when you are bound up and tied up and controlled, you don't see. And what you're supposed to enter into at 26, you probably enter into it at 56. What you're supposed to be enjoying at 20, you probably not enjoy it until you are 50. And I just prepared this message shaking my head that, Lord, well, it's better late than never. In 1 Samuel 18:1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit. Everybody say knit. With the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him, what does he say after that? As his own soul. There was a soul tie between them. Don't believe the homosexuals who tell you that they had a homosexual relationship. These people were pure. These people were clean. The Bible says their souls were knit together. And I'm sure you've seen friends in the world and even in Christendom who are like that. They're just close, intimate friends. Nothing sinful about them. They're just good friends. And you'll notice that everything that came out of their friendship was good. Everything that came out of their friendship was clean. Everything that came out of their friendship was godly. Another classic example we find in the book of Ruth, the first chapter. If you would turn to the book of Ruth with me, in chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, we'll read about two girls who were with their mother-in-law. And you'll see that one of them had a good soul tie with her. The other had no tie with nobody. And in verse 14, we read, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth did what? Clave unto her. Sometimes, you know, we've heard stories that mother-in-laws are horrible, mother-in-laws are bad, but it's not true in all cases. There are mother-in-laws that are wonderful women that just have a good relationship with their son-in-law, their daughter-in-law. And in this case, we find this woman had a beautiful relationship with Ruth, and it was a soul tie. How do I know it was a soul tie? Look at verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, don't tell me to leave you or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Good soul tie. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die. Hey, hey, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Good soul tie. And you know, it was a right choice she made, because ultimately, when you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you'll find her in there. So it's good to have good closeness, good relationship with people, especially if it is within the confines of the scripture. But my focus is not that. My focus is the one that destroys you, the one that messes you up, the one that stops you from achieving God's plan and God's purpose for your life, the one that takes away the lordship of Jesus from you and some man or some woman or something becomes the Lord over your life. So I want to break it up into three parts this morning. I want to show you the sources of ungodly soul ties. Where do they come from? How do they form? May I say this to you, that ungodly soul ties don't form overnight. It forms over a period of time. Same thing with godly soul ties. It doesn't form overnight. It's a process. It's a period of time. And then becomes stronger and stronger. The bonding becomes thicker and thicker. So we'll look at the sources. Probably give you about four or five. I wanted to give you more, but time I know will not allow me, so I had to reduce it. Then I'll show you the seriousness of ungodly soul ties. If you are tied to somebody or to something, and it falls within that definition that I just told you, that brings restraint upon your life, and that steals your independence from you, and takes freedom of action and freedom of choice from you. And the agreement and the influence and the obligation you have for them hinders you from being all you need to be in God. Then we got a big problem. So we look at the sources of ungodly soul ties. Many of you are where you are today and you can't move forward and you can't be what God wants you to be because of some man or some woman or even of some parents, believe it or not, or even of some preacher that manipulated you and controlled your life. And now you're so messed up. But the Lord will set you free this morning. I have that assurance from the Holy Spirit that you're going to be giving thanks after this service is over. Because everything that has had you tied up and kept you from standing in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, those things, God will have to deal with them for you in the name of Jesus. So let's start with the sources. And then we'll look at the seriousness. And then we'll end up with salvation from ungodly soul ties. What are the sources of ungodly soul ties? Number one, ungodly soul ties come from ungodly agreements and evil covenants. Ungodly agreements and evil covenants. What do I mean by that? Agreement, you know, is at the core of every relationship between two people. If you don't, how can two work together except they be agreed? All right? So if there's no agreement, there's no work. But the same thing when it comes to evil. Once you agree with somebody and it's an ungodly agreement and it's an evil covenant, then you form a soul tie with that person. Now that's where the witches, they have a place that they call coven. The word coven comes from the word covenant. All right? It's actually a short form of covenant. They just remove the ants from the back of it. So you can form the same evil agreement with people that witches form with themselves. And you may not realize it. Especially if the person you form the agreement with is an ungodly person. You become tied soul to soul with that person. You know what the Bible says? Be not deceived. Evil communication does what? It corrupts good manners. So when you begin to hang around this dude whose life is not right with God, and you know his life is not right with God, or you know her life is not right with God, before you realize it, you begin to be like them. You begin to talk like them. You begin to walk like them. You begin to live a life as if you cannot do without them. And usually, it's the evil that prevails upon the good. Usually is the bad that overcomes the one that is good. So God says, don't be deceived. When you have an ungodly agreement and an evil covenant with someone that is evil, it's going to rub off on you and corrupt you. Singles, you're better off remaining single for the rest of your life than marrying a man and a woman that deep inside you, God doesn't give you peace about. I have a young man, very promising future. He brought to us the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in the United States. And he said, this is the one I want to marry. And we say, you've prayed. He said, yeah, I've prayed. You have peace. Oh, yes, peace like a river. He didn't know that was a river that would blow him away. Now, he married this lady, and they had a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful, handsome boy. But long before then, everything just broke up. And my wife asked him, he said, what's going on here? And he said, Mom, because he called my wife, Mom, I knew it. Even before we got married, I saw the signs. And I knew I was getting into a wrong relationship. But I liked her. I wanted her. And she got me. And now it's too late. The sorrow and the pain that both of them are going through, I cannot describe. Listen, single man. Listen, single woman. A broken courtship is better than a broken marriage. The signs that you see right now is God showing them to you. Did you hear, Bishop? Turn to somebody and tell them, don't look the other way. Don't look the other way. Don't look the other way. Many times we are so filled with love and we say, no, I want him by all means. Well, you'll get married and then the true color will come out. So please look before you leap, or you might leap into a bottomless pit. Evil communication corrupts good manners. When you go into an agreement with someone that you know is evil, that is not living for God, back out of the agreement as quickly as possible. You know what the Bible says?
be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You want to go into a business partnership? If you can't find a Christian, go all alone by yourself. Because when you bring your own money, which comes from light, and it brings its own money, which comes from darkness, and you join both together for business, that business will fail. I guarantee it. I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you pure scriptures. So now that things are not going on well, you say, well, he's bringing so much experience into the business. He's bringing so much this and that into the business. But he's bringing more into the business. He's bringing spirits that control him into the business. He's bringing spirits that are not subjected to the Jesus that you are subjected to. Maybe God is allowing me to say this because some of you have been praying about some business connection. This is the last you will hear from God. All right? If you want to move on, move on. You'll be back for prayer. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'd rather you go it all alone than you believe in prayer and fasting. He believes in going to see the woman in the Bronx and going to India to bring some talisman. How will both mingle together? And then when you go into business partnership with a person like that, the Holy Spirit wants to come in, demons that he invites wants to come in. And then there is war on your job, on your business, and you wonder why things may go well for the first 3 months. I assure you. I used to have a friend in this city. He never told me. I wish he told me. I would have told him not to. But you know, people think they are very smart, all right? Came out of medical school, you know, got everything he needed and passed all the exam, got the board exam all taken care of. He found a super sinner. Yes, not just a sinner, a super sinner. This super sinner had a practice already set up, doing extremely well. And his eyes focused on it. And I said, come on, I know you're a very good doctor. Come on, be my partner. You don't do it. And I said, you know what? I'll sell you half of this and then we'll go into partnership. I wish he told me. And he said, what do I do? He said, you bring $400,000 in and then we'll do everything half and half from now. He went to the bank, got a loan for $400,000. He's still paying that loan till today. It's over 15 years ago. Everything collapsed. It was a big mess. It was a big fight. And he had to go start his own, which he should have done from day one. Look, if you can't find a Christian to join with you, then wait for a number of years until you're able to do it all by yourself. All right? Or until God leads a Christian to you. Because once you go into a soul tie with an unbeliever in business, you are looking for real, real trouble. Let me go back to my unmarried people. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 24 and verse 25. Now those of you who are still single and you are looking forward to walking down this aisle and you want me to pronounce you husband and wife, let me tell you who not to bring into this church. All right? Don't bring this one that I'm about to describe to you into this church. Don't go into a soul tie with this one that I'm about to read to you in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, if you are there, say amen. Verse 24, let's read it together. Proverbs 22, 24, read. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare. See the word soul there again. See the word soul. You see a man your first time together, and you go and eat at where do you go to eat? Red Lobster. And the lady who is serving the food is late, and he begins to use foul language, F word, S word, W X Y Z, and you look at him and say, well, he's just angry. He must be hungry. All right. He must be hungry. And then the next time also, you're driving on the highway. He's cussing out everybody on the highway. And somebody cuts him off. He uses a D word. And he says, how can he cut me off? Then he speeds. He speeds and passes him and does like this. And cuts him off also. And you say, yeah. We're in a hurry to go somewhere. That's why he be explaining it away. Be explaining it away. God is opening your eyes and letting him do his thing in your presence, and you say it doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know what's killing us and getting us into ungodly soul ties? It doesn't matter. I'll pray him through it. Have you prayed yourself through yourself first? I'll pray him through it. After the man is through with you or the woman is through with you, even if they call prayer meeting, you will not be there. Ungodly soul ties. And once you make a soul tie with you, you know what I found out? To be with him is the easiest thing. To get away from him is the most difficult thing. And I'm going to tell you that in a minute. To be with him is easy. To get away from him. You know, you may even get away from him physically and still not get away from him emotionally. And still not get away from him legally. Go ask people that have experiences with covenants with evil people. They will wish they didn't. They wish they didn't say yes. They wish they said no. Someone walked up to me and said, Bishop, I wish my wife would die. I said, you are going too far. I said, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. Maybe something will run over her or something will happen to her. And I said, he said, but the more I wish she will die, the more healthy she gets. With an angry man. Don't go. Don't go. Maybe you came seeking for answer this morning. What other answer do you want? Did I talk to you yesterday or did I talk to you the day before yesterday? Haven't you been asking, how will I do it? How will I do it? What does God want me to do? You know what God wants to do? Don't go. Don't go. Is he the only man in the world? Huh? Is she the only woman in the world? God has somebody for you. Bone of your own bone. Flesh of your own flesh. That will give you joy and peace. And by the way, look how pretty you are. Why are you selling yourself to this dog? Is it that there's no other man in the world? Is it that there's no other woman in the world that you have to die for this one and destroy your life for this one and go into bondage with this one? This one only wants to use you because of the money coming your way or because of the free house or because of the free food or because of the other one, which I won't go into behind the pulpit. You've seen the signs. You've seen the signs. And so, folks, ungodly agreements and evil covenants. You know, one of the fastest ways to create bondage is to establish a bond of secrecy with people. Easy to get into evil soul tie when you get into secrecy. You know what I mean? Don't tell anyone what I'm about to tell. You and that person are bound in an unholy tie of gossip, in an unholy tie of darkness, and that person can manipulate your life based on the secret about you that he knows. You know what I thank God for? There's no one of you in this church that knows any secret about me that you cannot tell before the whole church. I turn my back to you. I turn my back to you. All you men and all you women, what is the secret you know that you cannot tell? See, if you have a secret about me that you cannot tell, we form a soul tie. And either I rule you or you rule me. I work very closely with Gad and Joyce just moved in, asked them. There's nothing about me that I would see them talking to somebody in the church and I would start shaking. No. I don't live my life like that. If I live my life like that, what will happen to them is that they will be subjected to me, controlled by me, not independent from me, or vice versa. Don't let any man rule your life. Let Jesus be the ruler of your life. He is the only one who is Lord. He is the only one that deserves to be bowed down to. He is the only one that deserves to rule your life. Live your life in such a way that you can look at all men and say, none of you convince me of evil. There's no secret that I've kept with you. And they will form a bond. Form a bond. Jim Baker and Jessica. After they met in that hotel room, they formed a soul tie. And he said, please don't tell. And she said, give me so much not to tell. See, that's secrecy. He becomes a slave to his secretary. And every month they will give her money. Hush money. Hush, please don't say anything. Soul tie. When the man wants to say something and the girl looks at him and says, and then he says, you want to continue living your life like that? And when you want to do something, you say, I need $10,000. $10,000. Or I will. Help me write her a check. Call the treasurer. Help me write her a check for $10,000 for miscellaneous expenses. Miscellaneous. That's soul tie. The soul tie continued until Jim Baker said, enough is enough. Let me fall in the hand of man. Let me fall in the hand of God. But let me be delivered from this evil woman. And he went out. Asked for more money. He said, no money. Go and tell. Go and tell. And she went. And she told. And he suffered for it. He went to jail for it. He lost his ministry for it. But he got his freedom from it. How long will you be in bondage? How long will you allow some man or some woman to rule and control your life because of some secrecy between you and them? Secrecy that husband must not know. Secrecy that wife must not know. Secrecy that children must not know. Secrecy that pastor must not know. Secrecy that church members must not know. Why will you live your life like this? Secrecy that when the mail comes, you run to the mailbox, take it out, put it in your pocket before you put the rest on the table. Secrecy that you tell him, don't mail to my house, send it to my P.O. box number. Your wife doesn't even know about the P.O. box number. How long will you live in soul tie and have a secret, whatever the reason is, with somebody? Why don't you let your life be an open book? Let me tell you something. There's nothing like being free. That is true. There's nothing like being free. Being free that somebody walks in and opens your computer, no problem. Somebody comes in, opens your email, read on. Long nose. Somebody comes in, opens your mail before you get home, no problem. That is the life of a child of God. Free from domination by any other party. Have you ever seen people that commit a crime and they swear to secrecy? Never, never, never to make it known. That's how ungodly soul ties are formed. You know what the Bible says? Turn to it in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 22, to show you how bad this thing can be. Proverbs 5, 22. It's not far from what we read. It says, his own what? Iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holding with the cords of his sin. Cords. Of his sin. See, that's how ungodly soul ties. There are sins that will just hold you like a cord. Hold you like a cord. Have you ever seen people who are involved in secret societies? Organizations that make you swear to an oath of secrecy? It brings you into a snare. It makes you form ungodly soul tie with those people. And it's a common thing. The blacks are crazy now about missions. You have that little logo in the back of your car if you're missing. Oh, they say when you go to court and you have a case, you'll be delivered. If a policeman, you run a red light and the policeman also is missing, you'll be delivered. If you have problem with IRS and the person who is coming to audit you is missing, you'll be delivered. You're a criminal. Why is it that deliverance is what you are looking for? Why do you always talk about running a red light, getting into trouble with IRS, getting into a court? Does that show you the kind of person you are? Why don't you live a life of righteousness? My God. Where the police can come and say, hello, you want some lunch? And he says, no, we didn't come for lunch. We're looking for so-and-so. You got the wrong house. I will find some criminals in the neighborhood and I'm not one of them. I don't make no soul tie with no criminal. What a life. Police stops you on the road. You don't worry about, I wish I were missing. Because if I were missing and he comes to my door and I do like this, and I show him the sign, or I do like this, and once I show him the sign that I'm one of them, he lets me go. No, I'm not one of them. I'm Jesus' property. I have a soul tie with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So any law in the land that wants to examine, you're welcome. You're welcome. I sit down, I cross my leg. And when you're done, you'll have nothing to hold against me. You see, we get into all these ungodly agreements and evil covenants, and they result in ungodly soul ties. You need to break them off. And I know for some of you, some of the things I just said makes you very uncomfortable, because I was preaching against the Masons in one of my sermons down south, and I had one of my church members, Derek is his name, and Derek got up on that Wednesday and blasted me and said, what's wrong with the Mason? What's wrong with the Mason? And I looked at him, I said, the level you are, you don't know. So when you rise up higher, you will know that thing is not of God. Oh, by the way, I have a DVD that I'm going to show you, maybe even on a Sunday morning, that will open your eyes to what Masonry is all about. Anything that is secret is not of God. Anything that is secret is not of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, whatsoever you do inside the house in the dark, it will be broadcast on the housetop. So anything that I do, I want it to be broadcast on the housetop, so that Jesus won't have to broadcast it on the housetop. If you have a church here, oh, you see, we will get contract. And you'll get contract and lose the heavenly contract. The Rosicrucians, the Eastern Stars, the Knights of Columbus, and the Days of Columbus. And other secret calls and all the agreements that they reach. How can you have an agreement with the devil and say you are a child of God at the same time? And it's a bad thing sweeping through the church. You know how many pastors are into this foolishness? Into this foolishness. And then you come to this church and you think I'm one of them. And then you give me the foolish handshake. Oh, I even saw one on TV when I went to Nigeria 2 weeks ago. There was this ex-head of state who was greeting somebody from your state. And they were greeting like this. I said, backhand. That's what called backhand. I said, what kind of handshake is this? And somebody said, it's a cult. It's a secret society. It's a cult.
that form soul tie.
And you know, have you noticed that when you form soul tie with secret societies, it's difficult to break? Have you noticed that? They even tell you if you break it, they kill you. And how many people have been killed because they broke the oath of secrecy? Folks, let your agreement only be with Jesus. Let your covenant only be with Jesus. Whatever agreement I reach with any one of you in this church, that my wife cannot know about it, all right? That chairman cannot know about it, that any of you cannot know about it, is forming soul tie with you.
So don't tell anybody this. It's between me and you. It's an agreement between us. We already form a soul tie.
And you know what? It's either you control me or I control you. But I want to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. I don't want to get to a point in this church where I come behind the pulpit and I think about so and so and consider what he will think or what she will think before I preach the gospel. Mm-mm-mm. I don't want that kind of bondage. I don't want that kind of agreement. And then if I overstep it, he comes to me and says, you talk too much today. You talk too much today. If you do it again, you are finished. Mm-mm. I don't want that kind of life. I don't want my secret to be in your hand to the point that now I'm your servant. And not the servant of the living God. Number two. Soul ties are formed not only through agreements and evil covenant, but they are also formed, believe it or not, through sexual immorality of any kind. Sexual immorality of any kind. It could be with the opposite sex. It could be with the same sex. It could be with animals. If your sexual relationship with the opposite sex is outside the limits of the Bible, a soul tie is automatically formed. What do I mean by this? Let's go to Genesis. Let me show you something in Genesis. Have you heard of a lady, a pretty lady called Dinah? I'm not talking about where you eat. Dinah was the daughter of Leah, the wife of Jacob. Dinah was a lady who roamed about, all right, and got in trouble. Have you ever seen people who never stay at home? Oh, just roaming around, roaming around, roaming about. I always tell my wife when we see them in the street, dress the way they dress, and I say, and now they will rape them. They will say, they rape me. How can you dress like this and somebody will not rape you? Genesis 34:1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to the daughters of the to see the daughters of the land. 34:2. And when Shechem, everybody say Shechem. Shechem was a bad boy. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. Everybody say saw her. See, this is where the soul tie begins before the sin is committed. You first see. It's called the lust of the eyes. Do something about what you see. Honey, do you know why God gave you eyelids? Maybe you don't know. The reason God gave you eyelids is not so you may open it, because it's automatically open. It's so you can close it. But some people don't know how to close it. They look, they widen the eye. And that's the beginning of trouble for you. He saw her. He saw her. God has blessed us with ways of, you know why your neck is not stiff? So you can look away. You don't have to force me to look at you. There are many things you look at for the first time, you have no control over it. But you don't have to force me to keep looking. I can either close or turn. The Bible says flee adultery or fornication. So it's giving us feet too. So we could run. But this man, he did not know he was about to form a soul tie with this girl. The Bible says he saw her. My God. And there are many people you see today. You know, there's inspiration between them. Inspiration on them. You look at them like this and.
When you don't take the precaution you ought to take, some are even anointed to do it. Seriously.
One of our brothers several years ago, a pastor, good man, fell. And he fell because he got into this kind of trouble. Went into an ungodly soul tie with this girl. And the girl came to him for counseling and said, I have pain on my side. It's not everybody you have to lay hand on for them to get healing. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Some of them you have to lay a whip on. Whip with cane, like they say in Africa, cane. And he said, all right, pray for you. So he prayed in the name of Jesus, Lord, heal her. That was on Wednesday Bible study. Friday, anointing service, you came back. The healing is not complete. Pastor, pray. But this time, she did not wear a dress. She wore a blouse and a skirt. And before he realized it, she pulled the place up. She pulled the place up. And she's one of those light-skinned, not dark like me, light-skinned. And when he pulled it up, the man in his eye said, yay. Soul tie. It begins with the eye gate. There are several gates into your body. We'll get to that momentarily. If you can close all those gates, you'll have victory. And so the lady said, Pastor, you say, oh, she said, yeah, it's red. What happened? I don't know. Can you lay your hands on it? Point of contact. Now, there's nothing wrong in laying hands on people, but when you know this person has an agenda and you are in the spirit. You tell them, die with what is happening to you. All right, but he didn't do that. The moment he laid hand on him, that was the end. That was the end. Trapped till his ministry was destroyed. He saw her. There are people who want you to see them. Do you realize that? People want you to see them. After every service, they must need counseling. After every service. And I say, I canceled you yesterday. I canceled you the day before yesterday. Sunday, you were the last one I canceled. Why must I cancel you again today? Lord, deliver me from this woman. I want you to come for counseling. And when they come for counseling, they wear a kind of dress that is low cut. And then they sit down like this. Foolish woman, sit down like this before you, a man of God. And they say, man of God, please pray for me. And the blouse is showing. What should be covered is not covered. And you yourself, you don't use your eyelids. You don't use your mobile neck. And then you say, yes, sister. What is the prayer for? We are going to bind and loose. In fact, the deliverance team will not handle this. I will handle it by myself. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which bear went out. And when she came, the son of Hamor, the Havite, prince of the city, saw her. Be careful what you see, because what you see can destroy you. That was how David formed a soul tie with Bathsheba. He saw something. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody who comes to you not dressed right has a bad agenda. Some of them have not just been taught how to dress. They don't have any bad intentions in their heart. I was in a Bible study one time, about 8 people. My Bible study leader was a very wise man. There was a lady who had a shame. She unbuttoned it to this place. And then the pastor said, well, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. And when they all did that, he said, I wanted to pray quietly before I pray. I went to her. If your mother didn't teach you, I will teach you. Some people just don't know. That's the truth. Some people just, they don't even mean, you know, some of you don't believe that. They don't mean harm, but that's, they just don't know. So you got to teach them. But see, some people would dress in a way and say, I don't know, I just found this dress and bought it. But some say, well, if you have problem, you know, undress. If you have problem with the undress, you are the one that has problem. You have problem. Don't be a stumbling block. You see, if you make one of these to fall, it would have been better if a millstone were tied to your neck and you were thrown in the Atlantic Ocean. That's how God takes. You know how serious God takes covering your nakedness? Do you know that back in those days, in the temple, women were not allowed to go up the steps? Because if they went up the steps, the men downstairs will see their nakedness. That's how serious God takes holiness and purity in God's house. But this is how soul ties are formed between the opposite sex. So this week, be careful how you look. Be careful what you look. You cannot restrain them from showing, but they can make you look if you don't want to look. Can I hear an amen to that? Anyway, he looked. He couldn't stop looking. So he took her. Did you see that? He took her and lay with her and defiled her. They committed immorality together. Look at verse 3. And when they committed immorality, what does verse 3 say? Let's read the first part together. Let's go. And his soul did what? Aha. Do you know everyone you've ever had an intimate relationship with, there's a soul tie between you and them? For most of you who are born again and who have totally surrendered your life to Jesus, the soul tie is broken. But if it's not, it's still there. That's why sometimes, how could I say this without offending little ears? That's why sometimes you get married, you're having an intimate relationship with your husband, but you're thinking of your boyfriend, because the soul tie is not broken between you and that person. Everyone you ever sleep with, they say soul tie. The soul cleave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. The rest of the story is awful. I don't have time to get to it. He ended up being killed. So how do soul ties get formed? Sexual immorality with the opposite sex. You know what? It's even worse when you go to a prostitute. Go to a prostitute. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? You remember that? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Paul said, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be. How many flesh? One flesh. Then you read the story of the man called Amnon. You remember him? Amnon. And who? Tamar. Some of you don't know that. All right, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 13. Oh, time is gone. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can you let me go a little bit over time this morning? 2 Samuel 13, 11 to 15, because I'm just getting into this. 2 Samuel 13, 11 through 15. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. You know, this thing can happen in a family, brothers and sisters. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. You see that, honey? Do you know when you go sleep with somebody you're not supposed to sleep with? You are a fool. You are a fool. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, and he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he will not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than her, she forced. But then she forced her and lay with her. Now look at what happened immediately after that. A soul tie was formed between a brother and a sister. Same thing. And look at the result of it in verse 15. Amnon hated her exceedingly. Huh? So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. It wasn't love, it was lust. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Haven't you heard stories like that? In fact, it gets so bad that after they defile them, they kill them. Why do you think people kill people after they defile them? Let me tell you something. All the time in rape cases, divorce cases, one night stand cases, hatred always follows. And the fact that hatred exists is an indication that the soul tie formed by the relationship has not been broken. Because now there is an attachment. And the attachment now has resulted not in love, but in what? In hatred. Listen to me, folks. Whether you're a man or a woman, after you have given your body to a person, don't you find out that sometimes you find yourself involved with that person time and time again? Someone came into my office and said, Pastor, I fell. I committed sin with such and such a person, and my wife knew about it, and this and that and that. And in the presence of his wife, I told him, I said, you'll do it again. I said, you will do it again. And he was taken aback because he was boasting that it can never happen again. Now that it has come into, I said, you will do it again with the same person. You will. Why? His old tie has been formed. And then he humbled himself and he said, now I know what to guard against. Because have you divorced a spouse and found that this person can trigger an emotional reaction in you? Why does somebody that you've divorced and the courts have said, you go your way, and then when you remind that person, you get angry? There are people I've met that I will never talk about their ex-husband or ex-wife in their presence because something just rises up within them when they hear the name. Someone even told me, don't mention so-and-so's name in my presence again. Why? It's an emotional attachment, a soul tie. And that's why 60% of second marriages don't work. Because the soul tie from the first one is not broken yet. Whether for good or for bad, it's still there. Maybe you've even had what they call multiple lovers. And you feel like somehow each one of them is still tied to you. The reason is because once you have a relationship with somebody, it's there. Or it could even be worse than that. You find yourself in a deja vu relationship. What do I mean by a deja vu relationship? The person is not there. It's not the one that you are meeting. It's not, you found a new person. The new person is now your love. But even though the name has changed and the face has changed, you have thrown away the love letters, you have deleted the name and the number of your ex-lover from your speed dial in your cell phone, you've pawned the jewelry that he gave you, you burned all his photos, but the pattern is the same type of man you run into all the time. You say, why is my own like this? Mr. Snubgrass, that I first married, this is the way he is. Mr. Bucketmouth, the same thing is this. Why am I running into the... it's his old time. This old time that shows up. The first one shows up the second time. I know somebody who's been married for 5 times. Married the same type of person. Soul tie, soul tie, soul tie. This applies not only to heterosexual, it also applies to homosexual relationships. When I was in high school many, many, many years ago, I went to a very good high school. Very, very good high school. We had white people as our teachers. Really, really good school. But strange enough, our school chaplain was homosexual. He's a British man. Call him chaplain. Now, we didn't even know what he was doing was wrong. We just thought it was strange. Because all the other teachers are going with the other girls in the school. It's the boys he will be going with. And we say, why? This man is strange. It's now that I know what they call homosexuality. But what happened was this. All the boys that he had a homosexual relationship with, chairman, they grew up themselves to become homosexuals. Why? Not only did they form a soul tie with him. Listen. They formed a soul tie with that lifestyle. So you think it's only a person you can form a soul tie with. You can form a soul tie with a lifestyle. And some of them, what is so strange about some of them is, some of them are married, all right? But they carry on a secret affair behind the back of their wives. And some of them became HIV positive through the... You know, the same thing applies to those who lie carnally with animals. It's a young lady that I used to pastor in this city many years ago, the other church that I was, and they have a place in Manhattan where they bring weird people to take care of. And she told me, she said, Pastor, you won't believe this. Some of our clients will bring chicken in. And then in the night, the chicken will be crying. That's their wife. They form soul ties with chicken. Isn't it amazing? That chicken is your wife during the day, but he's your food during... Is your wife during the night, but it's your food during the day. Can you see how messed up some people can... Soul tie. Now, for some of you, what I'm talking about, God has set you free. Some of you still need this prayer this morning. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Say, in the name of Jesus. Now, listen to me. None of us was born perfect. None of us was born clean. We all went astray the moment we were born. So some of us still labor under these things. But we're going to break it from your life. Did you hear what I said? Now, listen to me, folks. Why do you think you, when things don't go well with your present husband, you begin to think, I wish I married Jimmy, your first boyfriend. Haven't you felt like that? I wish I married Jimmy, because if I had waited for Jimmy, this mess I'm in wouldn't have been. Now, the one you married now is a Christian, and you're a Christian. Jimmy is a drug addict. Why do you now say you wish you married Jimmy if something has not been tied up between the two of you? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, pray with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I come before you this morning. I thank you for your power to break, to destroy, and to remove everything in my past. I confess that in the past, I didn't know you. And out of ignorance, I had ungodly, unscriptural relationship with people. I ask you to forgive me. But not only forgive me, but every soul tie that I have with this individual, I command them broken in the name of Jesus. Take them from my mind. Take them from my heart. Take them from my thoughts. Take them from my imagination. Let them have no influence whatsoever upon my life, so I can move on in life. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Soul tie comes as a result of sexual immorality. And that's why even after you get married now, you go out to commit adultery. You make it worse. Because now you have two soul ties. One godly in the house, one ungodly outside the house. And the thought of the one that you are with outside the house, the thought of the one you are with outside the house will be in your mind while you're sitting in the living room with your real. Oh, I wish I can talk with all my mouth. Somebody was having an intimate relationship with his wife, and he started calling the name of of somebody was having an illicit relationship with outside the house. And the wife said, Who are you calling? Ungodly soul tie. God chose to reveal that. But you don't have to say it out. You could be saying it inside. You are bound. You are in a yoke of bondage. And it needs to be broken. And it will be broken this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, time. Could you please turn the clock 30 minutes backwards? Soul ties, listen, this is another very common soul tie. Are you ready for this? Soul ties of grief for the dead. Have you ever lost a loved one? When a loved one dies, listen to this, we've all had loved ones die. The soul tie formed must be dissolved. Now, the period of sorrow following the death is a time of adjustment, during which the soul tie is ended. Though you still have fond memories of your mom, loving memories of your dad, fond memories of your husband, of your wife, that one will remain. But the soul tie must end. That is why in the Bible, listen to this, in the Bible, God will tell them to mourn for certain days. When Moses died, he told them to mourn for 30 days. And when I read that this morning, I just shook my head. They wept nonstop for 30 days. Incredible. When you get home, read the last book of Deuteronomy. When Moses died, they wept. Not, I can't imagine that. Wept. Not, who? And you know, back in those days, they hired weepers too. You know, they had professional weepers. They don't mean it. They think about the money you pay them. But they had people that wept for 30 days. But there were people that wept really deep out of agony and sorrow because of the memories of the one that died. But you know what amazed me? Now, the chapter 34 of the book of Deuteronomy was where God said the mourn for 30 days. But when you go to Joshua chapter 1, I'm amazed. You know what God said? God went to Joshua and he said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore now, arise. It's over. It's over. If you don't do that, especially if the death is sudden, especially if the death is unexpected, it will lead to prolonged mourning. And prolonged mourning may indicate the communion of the soul tie and the stress of the extended grief will open the door for spirit of sorrow, will open the door for spirit of grief, will open the door for spirit of loneliness to enter your life. And it will show in many ways, especially through nightmares and contact with the dead. And then this familiar spirit of the dead comes in too. And you go to the train station, you see your dead father. It's not your dead father. It's a spirit. So you got to mourn, have fond memory, but cut it short. Or else an ungodly soul tie will form in your life. Another source is addiction to anything. Addiction to pornography. You can form a soul tie with pornography. You can form a soul tie with alcohol. You can form a soul tie with cigarette. A soul tie with sweets. Don't somebody tell them, give me one chewing gum. You can form a soul tie with prescription drugs. You can form a soul tie with alcohol. And these become your friends that meet your needs. Well, you know the worst soul tie, folks, ever? And this may come to you as a surprise. The worst soul tie I've ever seen is soul ties within the church. And some of you are shocked to hear me say that. You mean soul ties can be formed in a holy place like the house of God? Absolutely. Now, all you have to do is look at the cults. David Koresh and the Waco people. What do you think they found with David Koresh? Wasn't that a soul tie with their leader? And they stayed with him till they died. In fact, the soul tie was so bad that all of them that had wives gave up their wives to David Koresh. And David Koresh became the husbands of their wives and had children by them. Control. Independence taken away from you. Not to talk of Jim Jones. That's another thing that can happen. But then when you come into God's house, have you ever seen pastors that have such a horrible stronghold on their members? I know of churches today, and it's usually black churches. Can't do it to white people. Can't do it to white people. White people, you want to rule me? I know. But black people, they say we are slaves. And we bring that slave into the church. And then this old black preacher just handles you with a rod of iron. I believe in discipline. But I don't believe that you have to have a controlling spirit over your people, over your congregation. If they cough, they must tell you before they cough. If they go to the toilet, they must tell you which one they are going to do, number one or number two. If whatever they do, I know of a church, you can't. Your wife must not get pregnant unless you tell the pastor. And when your wife gets pregnant, immediately she gets pregnant, you must go tell the pastor, my wife is pregnant. If you want to travel out of town, you must go tell the pastor, I want to travel out of town. Well, I can understand that if you're a worker in the church. All right. But if I control you so much to the extent that everything you do is subject to my approval. And you know, it can get to a point that even when God approves of it and the pastor disapproves of it, you still won't do it. You have already formed a soul tie with that man of God. I don't want that in this church. And those of you who are workers in this church, team leaders in this church, there are people under you. I did not put you as their head so you can become a Mussolini or Alexander the Great. That's not what I put you there for. That everything they do, if you don't approve of it, it must be done. I don't treat you that way. You shouldn't treat those under you that way. I don't want ungodly soul ties to be formed inside this congregation. I want you to be able to have freedom within the confines of this book. The only way we will fight and disagree is if you go outside this book. If it's within this book, you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do, as long as it lines up with this book. So it can come from the leader who goes around and everybody else must bow. Everybody else, if you miss Friday, you missed a lot. Because we talked on some of these things and I don't want to go back to them. But let's go now to the members. We've talked about the pastors. I deliberately did that so you can now talk about me first. Let me talk about you. Do you know you can be the one who starts soul ties in this church? There are people who just love to control others, even within the church. I've seen that even in our little congregation. And what I do is, God, pray them or kick them out. I will never kick anybody out. But God knows how to kick people. And I've seen him, like soccer, boosa, and they are gone. And me, I'm sitting here, nobody can blame me that I did anything. I'm just praying and preaching and doing my own thing. But they did not go by mistake. They went as a result of fasting and praying. Because I don't want anyone to come into this church and have a wrong, ungodly control over the members of the church. Some of them don't know how you got here. They don't know how God led you here. And then they come here, they see you here, they want to lord it over you. And some of you, many times you think, I don't see them. Me, I don't talk. I have someone I talk to in the corner of my house. Me, I don't cause trouble. I look foolish sometimes because I don't like trouble in the church. Church should be a place where you go, you pray, you go home. Not no fight. But we can do the warfare. I can take you to God and say, God, oh God, oh God, Mr. Big Mouth, Mrs. Big Mouth is controlling people like he should not. Oh Lord, you are the greatest soccer player. Kick them out. Do with them. Change them. In the name of Jesus. You will just wake up one morning and you will come to you and say, God is leading me out of this church. I say, he is? Well, if God is leading you, how am I to stop you? And then after you go away, another one is gone. I don't want people in the... Look, I wanted to have friendship in this church. But when it gets to the point where they rule you and they control you, can you imagine somebody in this church going to another person in this church and telling them, you spend too much time in the church. You come to church too much. Stay home with your husband. Now that's unbiblical. If that person obeyed her, all right, a soul tie will have been formed. Because if someone tells you to do something wrong, and you know what is funny? The person who told this person, stay home with your husband, never misses church. Never misses church. You will never miss any service. Morning, in the night, early in the morning, late at night, never miss church. But now she's going to tell you, stay home with your husband. You come to church too much. Maybe that's why you don't have a husband. Because you kicked your husband out too. So when I hear these things, you see me relating with this individual as if nothing ever happened. I don't fight, but I fight in secret. Go on my knees. Father, you're making this work hard, yo. I don't know where you brought them from. Father, from wherever you brought them from, take them back there. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, kick them out. If they don't change, I first pray for change. If you don't change, some spirit will just come upon you one day. I don't feel like going to that church. And it will be God. And you will come to me and say, God is leading me. I say, I know he is. I know when God speaks. I know he spoke. Because we told him to speak to you. Because I don't want a church where someone has such a control over others. Coyote is the one in charge of praise and worship. He's a cool guy. I love him. It's my son. But if he begins to control those people as if they are his own. The Bible says we must not lord over God's heritage. They are God's heritage, not our own. Then you form soul tie with people. Now from soul tie, you can form cliques in the church. Cliques. The Jamaican clique. The St. Lucia clique. The Yoruba clique. The Igbo clique. The American clique. God will unclick everything. And then someone will be the leader and will be calling them. And say, look, this church. Look, when someone goes out and calls you every time after the service, you go and hide under the pine tree. I pray thunder will not strike you under the pine tree one day. You go and hide under the pine tree. Everything we do in church, the dust has not even settled. And you hear what he said? This African man. You hear what he said? That's the same thing I told you under this tree last week. All right? And I'm telling you, this church... This is the most useless church I've ever been. I've never been in a church like this in my life. And then another person is passing by and he says, come. The thing I'm telling him, now, ungodly soul ties forming. And before you realize it, there'll be disunity in the church. There'll be lack of love in the church. And then we don't know why God is not moving in the church. We don't know. Any new person that comes, we want to put them under you to become part of you. That's what Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did. They called all kinds of people. They formed an ungodly soul tie. They called them, come. This Moses, this, that. And Moses said, God, you know me. Look, some of you don't know me, all right? And I pray he will reveal to you who I am. Don't base your assessment of me based on what somebody told you. Base your assessment of me based on what he tells you. Not demonic dreams, all right? Maybe the church you came from, your pastor was untrustworthy. The pastor did all kinds of foolishness to you and disappointed you. And like I said on Friday, you come to a church like this, the first thing you do is put up a defense and analyze to the minutest detail everything that I say, every step that I take. You know, time will always tell. Time will always tell. If you hang around long enough, if you hang around long enough, you will find out whether we are for real or we are fake. If you hang around long enough, you'll find out whether we're here just for what we can get from it or what we can put into it. Amen. But let me tell you something. God has done so much in our lives. And if there's anything we want to do, we want to serve him all the days of our lives. Oh, we are not perfect. We will make mistakes. We may stumble. But rather than criticize, so why don't you talk to God and say, God help him. God help her. God help them. But we can form ungodly soul ties. Ungodly soul ties. Where it's very easy to know. When people form ungodly soul ties, when the leader of the ungodly soul tie leaves, all the cocktails will also leave. You see, look, I'm not a child in pastoring a church. We've been doing this thing for a few years. When the leader of an ungodly soul ties leaves, the first thing he will do is to call all those other people. I'm leaving. God is leading me. God is kicking me out. I'm not. No. God is leading me out. Well, if you are a person of independence and you have not lost your independence, you will not see. If east goes, west will follow. No. Say, I'm an independent person. Husband, your wife may be the one who rises up, or your husband may be the one who rises up and says, I'm doing this. No. Hold it. That's you. That's not. We may be friends, but I'm not doing it. God has not told me so. Our pastor in Birmingham, Alabama, you remember? One day a woman came to church and brought 35, incredible increase. 35 people joined the church with her, 36, in one day. He called me jumping up. Bishop, God is answering our prayers. Today, one woman brought 35 people, and the whole 35 joined the church. I say, yay. Trouble joined your church. How many in this world, especially in United States of America, will control 35 people? I said, look, rejoice, but be sad. Because as you gain 35 people in one day, you are likely, I didn't say you will, I say you are likely to lose 35 people in one day. Because now you have to make sure you satisfy mama. If she's not satisfied, she will take everybody away. Because they are all tied to her. I don't want it to be tied to anybody. Amen. In this church, don't be tied to me. Amen. Don't be tied to my wife. Be tied to Jesus. Hallelujah. If all of us are tied to Jesus, we can walk together. We can move together. We can go forward together. We can do stuff together. Yes. So one day he called me. The excitement was gone in his voice. He said, Bishop, are you a prophet? I said, I'm not. My father is a teacher. I'm the son of a teacher, not the son of a prophet. He said, what you said has come to pass. I said, what came to pass? He said, the woman? I said, which one? The 35 one? He said, yeah. I said, what happened? He said, she left. He said, but the bad thing is that she did not go with 35. God bless you. She came to recruit. You know what's so sad? Some people don't have individualism.
Hallelujah.
Some people don't have individualism. Why should somebody, because they can speak in tongues, be Lord over your life? Amen. Why should somebody, because they can pray, you be subjected to them? Why should somebody, because they can sing, you'll be subjected to them? Why should somebody, because of some spiritual gift that they have, then you become servant under this Lord? Ah, God forbid. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. No man is Lord over my life. And I don't want that to be the case in this church. I don't want that to be the case in this church. Not even with me, the pastor. That's what happened in the church in Corinth. Ungodly soul ties. I wish I had more time. Ungodly soul tie in the church of Corinth. You know what happened in the church of Corinth? One day they got up, and there was a faction here, and there was another faction here. The soul tie was tied to this one. The soul tie was tied to this one. And one said, oh, Apollos. Oh, God, Apollos. Ah, Apollos. Even the spelling of that name. Apollos, double L. Double L, double anointing. When Apollos stands to minister, oh, God, we are the Apollos people. We are the Apollos people. Soul tie. The other people say, which Apollos? Before Apollos was, Paul was. Who saw Jesus on the way to Damascus? Was he not Paul? Who saw Jesus face to face? Was he not Paul? Who was the one that saw the angel and the voice of God? Was he not Paul? Which Apollos? We are Paul's. We are Paul's. And there's confusion in the church. And then some people say, you are all kind. We are not of Paul. We are not of Apollos. Who is Apollos? We are of Jesus. We are of Jesus. So Paul took his pen. He said, let me write these foolish people. He said, all of you are carnal. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Amen. Are they not servants of God? Paul plants, Apollo waters. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. So why are you forming soul tie with one of us? We will die, but God will still be here. We will go, but God will still be here in fresh anointing.
Hallelujah!
Hey! In fresh anointing. People go. People come. But God remains the same. Attach yourself to God. Connect yourself to God. Let him be your best friend. Let him be your body in this friend, in this church. And you will be who God wants you to be. I wish I can continue. Rise up on your feet. And let me give God the praise for a minute here. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we give you the praise. Oh God, we give you the glory. Oh God, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Oh God. Oh God, I wish I had more time. Oh God, I wish I had more time. But I think I've said all I need to say as allowed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I just wanted to raise your hand and say, Lord, I love you. Say, Lord, I thank you. God wants you to be free, completely free, not bound by anything or to anything. You are too big to be a servant of man. You are too strong to be a servant of man. You are a servant of the living God. You are a child of the living God. You will not bow down to any man. You will bow down to God Almighty, and to him alone you will pay allegiance. Nobody deserves your allegiance. I don't deserve your allegiance. No man in this church deserves your allegiance. No team leader in this church deserves your allegiance. Allegiance. Only God deserves your allegiance. How do you close a service like this? We're going to close it with a special word of prayer. But I want to ask you to do me a favor. Everyone that has ever used you, and many of us have been used. Everyone that has ever controlled you, and many of us have been controlled. You know what I wanted to do? Please forgive them. Please forgive them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to shock some of you. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. Did you hear me? There's a wall. Some people, out of lack of understanding, will tell you the one that you forgive, you must trust them. That's not true. That's not true. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. All right, I can forgive you, but I may never trust you until you change. Amen. You say, what do you mean, Bishop? All right, if you're in charge of my safe, where I keep money on my job, and I give you the safe key, and then you use your power and your authority to steal all the money in the safe, and then you come to me, Bishop, please forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. And the Bible says, I must forgive. And then I forgive you. So that's fine. Just find a way to return the money. That's maybe over 2 years or 3 years, return the money. You are forgiven. But you know what? I won't give you the key to the safe.
Amen.
I will be foolish to give you the key to the safe until I'm sure that you are no more a thief. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we have confused ourselves with forgiveness and trust. Somebody, chairman owns a dog, bulldog, and it's my next door neighbor. You hear me, Harmony? Next door neighbor. And we're friends. And your dog bites me. And then you come over to me and say, Bishop, I'm sorry that my dog beat you. Please forgive me and forgive my dog. And I say, I forgive you and I forgive your dog. All right? But you know what? That dog, I will never trust that dog again. So for you now to say, the only way for me to prove that I have forgiven you is to still be buddy-buddy with your dog, I will be foolish to do so. Have I made it plain?
Yes.
So, some people say, well, you've not forgiven him, you've not, I've forgiven you. But until you prove it,
hallelujah,
that you have changed,
Jesus.
Huh? I won't trust you.
Amen.
I will not trust you. I will not trust you. I have nothing against you. You know, people try to put me in bondage with that, in dealing with people, especially in Africa. Somebody came and stole some money that we wanted to use to do something somewhere and lied through his teeth. But we caught him red-handed. And then finally, he owned up to it. And I said, I forgive. And then they expect me to let him continue with the project. I will have to hear the voice of God. I will have to hear that. If I don't hear that, I will not trust him with money. I will not. Do I make sense? A lot of sense, you said. All right, give Jesus a big hand for a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So we're going to walk in forgiveness this morning. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Say, I will walk in forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. For all who have offended me. For all who have treated me wrong. For all who have manipulated me. All who have controlled me against my will, from my heart, I forgive them totally and completely in the name of Jesus. And if it is the will of God for me to ever trust them again, they will have to earn that trust in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to pray some prayers. Say, Father, I make this decision. Now what we're going to do is break all soul ties that you have with anyone living or dead. We're going to break them now. You ready?
Yes.
Some of you are going to be free from smoking cigarette from today. You're going to be free from drinking. Free from all those other things that have you tied up. Say, in the name of Jesus, I make the decision right now to break all unnatural authority. Manipulation, domination, or control exercised over me by, now mention those names to God right now quietly. Maybe people, maybe things, maybe places. I wanted to mention it to God. So God, I make that decision right now to break all unnatural authority, all unnatural manipulation, all unnatural domination, all unnatural control exercised over me by cigarette, exercised over me by pornography, exercised over me by homosexuality, exercised over me by an ex-friend, ex-husband, ex-wife, whatever unnecessary manipulation and domination and control, I make that decision and I break it right now in the name of Jesus. Now say after me, say, I renounce.
I renounce.
Say it loud and clear, say, I renounce.
I renounce.
All covenants, all promises, all agreements, all pacts and curses, and every other work of darkness to which I have been exposed or made liable by my own actions or the actions of others as an act of my will, I loose myself. Say, as an act of my will, I loose myself from every soul tie and from every form of bondage of my soul or my body to Satan or any of his agents, be they human or demonic. I choose to now present my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit to the Lord as a living sacrifice, as scripture commands. I will walk in holiness as God commands me to. So in the name of Jesus, I command every portion of my soul that has been broken up, torn apart, shared among people, shared among things, to come back into its proper place, to be healed. Every piece of my soul, of my heart, to be returned. My soul to be restored. And every bondage or related soul tie to be totally broken in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I now ask you to heal my heart and guard my heart by your power, by your love, and keep my heart and my mind through Jesus Christ. I decree it in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Now I take authority over every spirit tormenting my life as a result of soul ties. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come on, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I lose myself
from your power, from your control. I command you to lead me right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every evil vow that I have made, I renounce, I revoke in the name of Jesus. Whether I made them intentionally or unintentionally, I take back all the words that I spoke. I also break every soul tie resulting from that vow and take authority over every vow and over every evil spirit that have been sent to enforce the vow and to torment me. I command them broken in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the freedom right now. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you because in Jesus there is freedom. Father, somehow, man loves to have a hero. Man loves to have a star. Man loves to have someone they look up to. But it's very clear, we are only commanded to look up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There is no man, no woman, no matter how spiritual they are on this world, that can take the place of Jesus. They are not the author of our faith. They are not the finisher of our faith. They might have helped us in the past. They might have done things that we appreciate in the past. They might have fasted and prayed for us in the past. But Lord, without them, you could have done it. If they were not there, you could have brought somebody else. So we are not going to crouch and bow at the altar of any man. We will bow to Jesus. We hold allegiance to you only. So I pray for every man and every woman under the sound of my voice today. Whatever has you bound that is not God, I command that you be released. I command that you be made free. I command that the one that set us free will set you free in the name of Jesus. I decree that all connection to sexual partners, I command them to be broken right now. I decree that the spirits that come as a result of them be broken right now. I decree that thoughts and imaginations and flashbacks, I command them to be removed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree that you be totally free and you will stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and you will no longer be entangled in any bondage to any man or to anything. I decree it for you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, put your hands together and give the big one a big praise.